Today's daf is Erchei Daf Lamed. I'll just quickly review from the end because I sort of ended in a question, but I realized after that the end of class I didn't explain clearly. What we saw yesterday, just to review, we saw the Rav Anan said, I heard from Shmuel two things. One was our sugya about that if one sells the Yovel, if one sells his field in the Yovel year, the sale is not a good sale. And the other was if he sells his Eved to a non-Jew or to Chutz La'aretz, then he goes free. And which Rav Anan said is, I don't know which one. I know about one he said the money goes back, and the other one, it's a loss, right? The person has to incur a loss. So again, who incurs the loss? The buyer, because the buyer ends up
having paid the money
and doesn't get anything. So now they say, Rav Yosef said, but there's a braita that says explicitly, and you know, basically, don't you know the braita? Which obviously we then say Rav Anan didn't know the braita, right? So the braita said explicitly, Hamocher avdo b'chutz la'aretz yatza l'cheiruf b'tzarich get shichrur mirabo sheni, which seems that he is the owner, which means he loses his money. Okay, so now meaning in the Eved case he loses the money, in the Yovel case the money never really, right, it's a mekach ta'u. So then they said at the top of the daf, Rav Anan never heard the braita, and then the second line there, the last line there that we finished with, is explaining why Rav Anan was not sure about the case, about the Yovel. Because he thought that maybe in the Yovel it was like someone who betroths his sister. And Rav says, Ma'od Chozrin, and Shmuel says, Ma'od Matana. So maybe here the same thing would be true, that it would be like being Makdisha Choto, where we'd say, yeah, he gave him the money for the field, he really just meant to give him a gift. And that's why Rav Anan wasn't sure. But in the end, Rav Yosef proves that Shmuel wouldn't hold that way. There's just some interesting thing that comes out of this about the Hamikadesh Achoto. If we view it as Ma'ot Matana, generally it's you would think it's a sur to betroth your sister, right? Are you over on a lotas if we're doing it? So if you view Shmuel as, well, we just look at the Ma'ot as a Matana, then maybe you would think that there's no lotase at all involved, because he's not actually doing anything wrong. He's just giving her a gift in some weird kind of way. If we view it, mamash, 100%, this is just a gift, and we don't really take seriously what he says, then there's no lotase in actually betrothing his sister, which is an interesting, you know, question. Okay. Amar leh Abaye l'Rav Yosef. So now, Abaye goes back to Rav Yosef and says, wait, the case that you brought at this braita of someone who sells his eved, so we basically say the person who bought the Eved loses his money. So ask Abaye to Rav Yosef, why are we penalizing the lokeach? Theoretically, we should penalize the seller, right? This is always the problem when there's two sides. Both of them did something wrong. But who would you think did something more wrong? The seller, right? And in the end, who gets penalized? The buyer, because he ends up without the slave and he paid the money and he doesn't get the money back according to what we saw. The buyer says, I don't understand. So he says to him, Amar leh, this is a good philosophical question. Lav achbar aganav elachor aganav. If a mouse steals food and puts it in his hole, well, if he didn't have a hole, he wouldn't be able to steal food. So basically, right, it's the hole's fault. If it wasn't a hole, that the mouse would never steal. If there wasn't a buyer, the seller would never be able to sell. So while it's true he wanted to do something bad, but if he had no one to collaborate with, well then, he wouldn't have been able to do it. So, right, I could see you raising your eyebrows, which is exactly what he's going to say back to him. I love achbara chora menale. What's a hole without an achbar that steals? And it's, yes, it's true, you could have, but in the end, the buyer is just a buyer. He's not going to buy anything unless you're selling something. So he would never have done anything wrong if it weren't for the seller. So again, which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? So what do they answer? What does Rav Yosef answer him? Mistabra hecha di'ite li'isura kansina. So if that's the case, it's almost like a matzim chaver alav haraya, but the flipped. It's, where's the iser? Well, the iser is in the hands of the buyer right now. So he's the one who's going to get penalized. In other words, if we throw it up in the air and we don't know who to penalize, well, let's just see who's got the stuff now and let's just penalize him. So therefore, he gets penalized and not the person who sold it because it's already left his hands. Not a convincing answer, but I guess you could see since it could go both ways. Yeah, it's interesting they bring the example of a hole because a hole obviously is an inanimate object. So, and to be blaming it seems quite odd. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Haitash natshi dafon v'yerakon. Remember, you have to sell it. You have to leave. What if you sell your staff who's out? You have to leave it in his property for 2 years. 2 years of which he can grow things. If there's some outside factor that's affecting his ability to plant and grow, so it doesn't count. But if he himself, actually didn't translate it right, neira is he plowed without planting, and hovira is he didn't even plow at all. He didn't plow, he didn't plant. So now the Gemara asks a very obvious question, which is, hashta hovira olelo. What we said in that case was, if he lets the land go fallow, right, then obviously, you know, what the chiddush is, then it's going to count, right? If it was his fault, then it does count in the years, the buyer's fault. Neira mebaya. So now, if it's going to count if he did nothing, all the more so it's going to count if he plowed, right? He did something, but he didn't do very much. You know, it's his fault. So they say, why did he have to give the case also of plowing without planting? Nara itzri chale. We needed that case. Why? Sakadat achamina amrinan le havle dme velesak. Kam mashmalan. You might have thought that he could say, okay, you want to buy back the field? I haven't actually planted in it since you've been gone, but I did plow it, and since I plowed it, I want you to give me, and as I'm going to make you pay a little bit more because I did some work for you. Right? In other words, I left it for you in a better state. Kamash malan, that he can't claim he's the buyer that now becomes the seller. When he sells it back to the original owner, he can't claim, well, look, I plowed the field, give me money for the fact that I plowed the field. We're going to get into situations like this in general, about like the same thing. And right now we're going to talk about what if, you know, all this really relates to is what they're trying to say is the land itself. It doesn't matter so much what he put into it or didn't put into it or whether there's fruit, produce growing or not. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, what did he say at the end of the Mishnah? Mecharalo lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'hi melea perot, hareze ochel mimena shalosh tfuot b'shtei shanim. There could be a case where you eat 3 rounds of crops even though it's only 2 years. Which means, now what does it mean? It means you got the field full of perot at the end of the season and you give it back at the end of the season in 2 years, but you end up eating those perot also, and you kind of give it back empty. So again, it's going to relate a little to what we just said a minute ago. Tanya, here's a braita about this, which goes into a little more detail. Rabbi Elazar, Omer minayin she'im chahalo lefnei Rosh Hashanah melea perot, if he sold it before Rosh Hashanah full of fruits, produce, shelo, right, fruits don't always mean fruits. Shelo yomar lo hanach lefanai kederech shinachti lefanecha. You can't say to him, give it back to me the way I gave it to you. I gave it to you full of perot. You have to give it to me full of perot. Like I said, same issue as before. How do we know this? Talmud lamar b'mispar shnei tvuot yimkor lecha. Pa'amim shadam ochel shalosh tvuot b'shtei shanim. Right? There could be a case where he ends up eating 3 seasons worth of fruits, 3 years worth of seasons, rather than in 2 shanim, which means he doesn't have to give him back the field the way he got it.
So this is proof that only the land matters. And not
exactly. Exactly. Okay, new Mishnah. Mechara l'rishon b'maneh. Let's say he sells it to someone for a maneh. U'machar rishon l'sheni b'matayim. Now we're going to get that there was another buyer. Okay, so I sell to buyer number one. Buyer number one sells to buyer number two. But in the interim, right, I sell it to buyer number one for 100. Buyer number one sells it to buyer number two for 200. Now I come back to buyer number two. I want to buy back my field. What price do I buy it back for? Now, I definitely don't buy it for the original price. We're only talking about now. Remember, what did we say? When buyer one buys it, he buys it based on, this all means that it was based on the base price of 100, let's say 100 for, say, 50 years, right? And then, depending on where you are in the cycle, it gets lower every year. If you remember, we talked about this, and this is going to lead to an interesting halacha in the Rambam, that when you buy a steachuza, you're not really purchasing, you're renting, because you're only getting the field, or the land, for a particular amount of years, because in the yovel year, it's going to go back to its original owner. And therefore, it's really like renting, okay? Which would show, by the way, that what's this a source for? That you're allowed to sublet, because according to the Mishnah, buyer number one, which is really renter number one, rents out the seller's land to somebody else. Okay? Now, there's a whole thing, this whole concept when it comes to if you give me an item of yours, I'm not allowed to give it to somebody else. because Ein Ritzoni Sheyehe Pitoni Biyad Acher. If I give it to you, I wanted you to have it. I didn't want anyone else to have it. I trusted you, right? If I'm renting you my stuff, this is the whole problem with subletting. I rent you my house, so I trusted you to rent my house. But if you're going to rent it to somebody else, they might destroy my house. So, you know, maybe I'm not allowed to do that. Just like Ein Ritzoni Sheyehe Pitoni Biyad Acher. So the Rambam distinguishes in Hilchot Schirur, Parakei Alachahei, he distinguishes between renting out metaltalin and renting out a house or property. And the property, there's less of a concern of somebody destroying it, which is interesting, right? You would think maybe the property is worth more. Okay? So he said, Lo amru chachamim ena socher rashai laskir ela b'metaltalin. Sharei omer lo, ein ritzon ishiye pikdoni biyad acher. Aval b'karka o b'sfina, sharei ba'ala ima, he claims it's because we call this ba'ala ima, which I'm not going to get into all the details, but ein omrinkin. So he says, we don't say this, you're allowed to sublet. However, he brings at the end, he says, I think that, you know, you really, some people say you really can't sublet, but I don't think that's true. Comes the Ravid and he says, Yesh bidoreinu omrim ken. There are people in our generation, the Ravid says, he was living in Provence, okay, the Rama was in Spain. Sheyesh b'nei adam shemachrivim bayit b'diratam. People destroy, right? I know people who this happens to, and I'm always nervous if I'm going to rent out my house or something, right? People destroy it. They don't take care of your property, and it really is a problem. And the Ravid, you can imagine that this might change over time depending on what people are like and what the nohag is.
Or the norms of the place.
Right, the norms of the place. So it's very interesting. So the question is, what's the Rambam's source for this? And some people say, his source is our Mishnah. Then one can sublet, because you see it happening in our Mishnah. Again, you'd have to view selling here as renting, which it really is viewed that way by many people. And then you'd say this is the source for subletting. Okay, it's an interesting digression. Back to our Mishnah. So, Mecharan l'Rishon b'maneh, Mechar Rishon l'Sheni b'matayim. So you sell to the first guy for 100, the second guy for 200. Eino mechashev eleim harishon. We do it based on what he sold it for originally. Shenemar, La'isha Sher Macharlo, okay, I have to read the whole Pasuk. Bechishevet Shneimim Karo, you calculate the Shanim. Beishivet Ha'odeth, he gives the extra, in other words, whatever's left based on the years. La'ish Asher Macharlo, to the man who he sold it to. So what do you see? It goes based on the value of what he sold it for. Originally, the first value.
And he gives it the
He doesn't really. He gives it to the second person in this case, right? We're not exactly becoming the pshat of this pasuk, okay? But the drasha is that it goes, le'isha sher mecharlo, okay. Mechara le'rishon, but now it's going to be confusing, because now we're going to do the exact same thing to say the opposite. Because what if you have the opposite case? He sold it to the first b'matayim. U'machar ha'rishon l'sheni b'maneh. And the second guy sold it to the buyer, sold it to his next buyer, he subletted it to the second guy for 100. Again, I just want to make it very clear. It doesn't actually mean for 100 or 200. It means the first thing was 200, and then proportionally, based on a rate that it was 100, it was proportional, right? You figured out how many years are left. Right? The field is worth X at the time of the first sale, and then every year it goes down in value, so meaning from the base price, okay? So the second guy buys for 100. So now, eino mechashev elei ma'acharon. Okay, you can see the Mishnah is basically going lekula in every direction. And interestingly enough, they're going to darshan it from the same words. Shenemar, v'chishevet shneim in karo, v'yeshivet ha'odeth, la'ish. La'ish asher betocho. Well, it could have just said la'asher macharlo, if it really wanted to say that. So what is la'ish? Ish is the man. Who's the man? Well, the one who's got the property is the man. So based on the one who he sold, who's got the property now. Okay, that's the first halacha. Now, Mishnah, we're going to get into more detail in the Gemara.
This really is just all in favor of the owner of the property. Both cases.
Right, exactly. It's basically being makel for the owner buying back his property. Exactly.
And
it's
just
because both cases. We're going to be makel for him
to. We want to encourage that, because
right,
that's his stay achuzah.
Exactly. So we're going to make it easier for him to return the land to him. Lo yimkor barachok. Okay, now, the whole beginning of the Mishnah was we're going to make it easier for him. Now we're going to say, but we're also going to make things a little challenging for him. And the Mishnah is going to end with saying, but these chumras do not apply when you're buying back hekdesh. Okay, and dafka, we're going to be more machmir on hekdesh. I'm sorry, we'd be more machmir on buying back your land, even though Ruth said we want you to get back your land. On the other hand, there's a big difference between this and hekdesh. Why? If Hektesh, you don't redeem it, what happens? It'll go to the Kohanim. If this land you never redeem, on the one hand, we want to help you redeem it, but if you never redeem it, it will actually go back to you anyway. So we're going to be a little less mekel on you in some other issues. What are these other issues? The question is, you didn't have money. You were poor. You had to sell your property. Now, how are you going to... There's certain ways that we're not going to allow you. If you got money back in the following ways, it's actually a very interesting halacha, we're not going to allow you to repurchase your property from having acquired money in the following manners, okay? Which I think is trying to protect the buyer, okay? In other words, on the one hand, we want the seller to be able to get his land back. On the other hand, the buyer bought the land. Like, he should have the land. So why are we, you know, we have to make it a little bit difficult. We don't want to let him do it in all the following ways. Lo yimkor b'rachok b'yigal b'karov. He can't sell some other property as farther away in order to redeem this closer property. Like, in this... He sold this property, but he'd actually rather have this property than the other, so don't sell one land in order to buy this land. Bira'avi yigal b'yafa, don't sell a bad piece of land you have in order to get back a better piece of land. And also the reverse, by the way, holds true. V'lo yilavev yigal, he can't borrow money in order to redeem his field. V'lo yigal l'chatzim, and he can't buy it back in parts. Okay, there's a bunch of different interpretations of what this means, but we'll go with, right, say I'm going to buy back 10% of the land, and then 20%, and then 30%. Okay, if you sold it, you got to buy it back in its entirety. Ubehekdesh mutar bekulam. But hekdesh, this is all allowed. Zeh chomer behedyot mibehekdesh. Okay, that's one place we're going to be machmir more on hedyot than hekdesh. Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. First, we're going to have a braita. The beginning of the braita is going to be Divrei Rebbe. It's going to match our Mishnah exactly. Okay, so I'm not going to really explain it. I'll just read it. Mechara l'rishon b'maneh, u'mechara rishon l'sheni b'matayim. Right, he sold it for 100. He sold it to the second guy. Bought it for 200. Minayin she'enu mechashev elam rishon. He goes by the first. Talmud lomar la'isha she'er mechar lo. Mechara l'rishon b'matayim, u'mechara rishon l'sheni b'maneh. The reverse case. Minayin she'enu mechashvin elam asheni. We go by the lower price of the second guy. Talmud lomar la'isha she'er b'tocho divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Dostai ben Yehuda Omer, he gives a bit of a different case. It sounds like basically the same thing. The Gemara is going to then say what's the difference between the two opinions. Micharalu b'maneh, if he sells it for 100, v'hishbicha, Rashi says, hishbicha me'eleha. And the property went up in value, not because he invested in it necessarily. It sounds like from Rashi, if he actually did invest in it, then maybe it wouldn't be the case. But we'll leave that aside. It's not so clear from the pshat here what it means. But it went up in value. V'amdal matayim. Minayin she'eno mechashev ela b'maneh. It's the same thing, it's just that there wasn't a sale in between here. How do we know that he only has to pay 100 based on the 100 price? She'ne'emar ve'shivata odef. Okay, now he's darshaning it from a different part of that pasuk. He shivata odef, he gives back whatever's left. What do they learn? What's odef? Odef is change, right? It's what was left from where? Ha'odef shebiyado. What was left from when he sold it. He sold it, and now he buys it back with whatever money he has left from the sale, meaning, in other words, it's from what's left from what he bought it for, meaning we go by the original price because it's what's left from then. Okay, this is going to be the exact same thing as Rebbe does with different words. He's going to darshan these words in two different directions. Micharalo b'matayim b'chsifa, if he sold it for 200 and then it went down in value, v'amdal maneh, and it was only worth 100 now, minayin she'em chashvin ela b'maneh, again he gets to buy it back for the maneh, the lower price, she'ne'emar, v'shivat ha'odeh, what's that? Ha'odeh shebekarka, what's left of the land, basically it's value to the land. Again, it's going to go l'kula no matter what. Soon the Gemara is going to ask, why are we doing this all l'kula and not l'chumra? Okay, we'll get there in a minute. So, my benai, what's the difference between the two opinions? The obvious difference is going to be di'iyaker v'zal v'iyaker. If it was expensive, then went down in price, and then got expensive again. Why? Well, Rebbe said it all goes based on what it was in the middle when it got sold to guy number two. So in the middle, it was 100. It was the lower price, he would say 100. According to Rabbi Dostai, it goes by the odef shebekarka, whatever's left in the land at the time of the seller buying it back, which in this case would be the expensive price. So in that case, Rabbi Dostai would actually be machmir on him. If it fluctuated, it went down and then back up. Okay. Umimai de l'kula, dilma l'chumra. Why are we assuming it goes l'kula? Why don't we say it goes l'chumra? Lo salkadata. Doesn't seem to be the case. Why? De gamar geula geula me'eved ivri. Here it talks about redeeming the land. And by Eved Ivri, it talks about redeeming acharenim kar gu'ula tielo. If an Eved Ivri gets sold to a non-Jew, so he can be redeemed. So by Eved Ivri it talks about Geulah, and here it talks about Geulah, just like there were Mekel, which we don't yet know where there were Mekel, but we'll get there in a minute. Just like there we go Lekula, also here we go Lekula. So now, Hatam Minala, where do we get that from? Titania Nimkar B'maneh, and Eved Ivri gets sold for 100, Vishpiach B'amar Matayim, Minayin She'em Chashvin Ela Mimaneh, when we go to buy him back, how do we know that we can redeem him for 100? Shenemar Mi Kesef Miknato. Again, it's the same type of drasha. It says there, Im Od Rabot B'shanim, right? In other words, what happens? If he gets sold to a ger, like a... It's actually a weird case, right? Because it's implementing laws of ours on non-Jews. Okay, but he gets sold to a ger toshav, an obey kochavim, one of these people. You buy, now he gets goes free in the yovel year. It's not like 6 years and the seventh year he goes free, but just like an Eved Ivri goes free no matter what in the yovel year, it doesn't matter where he's up to in his counting. Also, an Eved Ivri that gets sold to a non-Jew goes free in the yovel year. So again, it says, same thing here, Od Rabot B'Shanim, and again, it depends on how much time is left. Yashiv Gulato Mi Kesef Miknato. So you buy him back based on how many years are left to Yovel, and you know how many years have elapsed from the beginning. So, Mi Kesef Miknato, from the money of, from which he was purchased. There you see, it's going to go by the lower price. But in the reverse case, Nimkar B'Matayim V'Yichsif, and then he went down in value, V'Amar Maneh, Minayin She'em Chashvin Ela Mimaneh, Shenemar, how do you know that there we go, Lekula also? Kifi Shanav, it says according to his years. So there, how do we assess his years? Based on the price now. Okay, so that's how we learn it from Eved Ivri, and then we learn from Eved Ivri to our case. Now again, we're going to have the same question there though. If it goes both ways, why do we go Lekula, not Lechumer? We'll get back to that in a few minutes. First they say, wait, but Ein li ela Eved Ivri anim karlo ve'kochavim, shenig al v'yado al elyona. We understand if someone gets sold to a non-Jew, we want to get them out of there, right? We don't want him living with a non-Jew. So obviously, his yado is going to be ala el yonah. Therefore, he gets bought back for the lower price. But nimkar li Yisrael minayin, how do we know if he's sold to a Jew and somebody buys him back that it would be the same thing? Talmud lamar, sachir, sachir. Uses the lashon of sachir by the person who sold to a non-Jew. And in Eved Ivri, who sold to a Jew, it uses the same words. We're going to learn Zera Shava. What's true for there applies also there. So, Safir Safir Ligzera Shav. So, Amar Abaye. Okay, now we're going to have the big question about why by Eved Ivri do we go Lekula? And we answered a question with something that raises the exact same question, right? We basically said, well, there's the same model by Eved Ivri, and there we go Lekula, so here we go Lekula. But they proved how we go Lekula there, but the logic was exactly the same. We have two, you know, in that case it was two different pesukim. In our case it was the same pesuk that could be read in two different directions. And therefore, we're going to say, depending on the case, either which way we're going to go Lekula. So, in order to have the question, we're going to have a bit of a story about how the question got asked. Amar Abaye. Abaye stood up and said, Hareini ki ben Azai b'shuka Tveria. It's an interesting thing to say. He says, I'm like ben Azai, who stood in the shuk of Tveria, and everybody asked him questions. You know, ben Azai was known to be a brilliant person, right? One of the four that went into the Pardes. Said, come ask me any question. Okay? So it's a little bit arrogant, right, to get up there and say, I'm like Ben Azai in the Shuk of Tveria, you know, he even says it in the Shuk of Tveria. Kind of, you get this nice image. On the other hand, maybe it was a way to encourage people to ask questions, okay? And he was just trying to, you know, get out there. So Amar Lei Ahumei Rabbanan, a person comes up to Abaye, Talmid Chacham, and he says, Ika lemidrashinu lekula, v'ika lemidrashinu lechumra. You could really use this verse in the Eved Ivri to go both ways. Mimai de lekula, ema lechumra. Why are you going lekula and not lechumra? One could explain it, lechumra. So Abaye answers him, lo salkadatach, it doesn't make sense to say that. Why? Mida'akyo rachmana gabe, because we see that the Torah in general is meikah with Eved Ivri. How so? Ditanya, very interesting halacha, we've seen this in the past, comes up by Sinai in Kiddushin. Kitov lo imach. It says about the Eved Ivri, right, in a case where the Eved Ivri says, oh, it's good for me to live with my master. I don't want to leave in the seventh year. And then they pierce his ear and all that, and he stays till the Yovel. Notice it says, Kitovlo, it's actually Imcha. It's good for him to be with you, right? It's good for him. With you. What does it mean, with you? Imcha. Imcha b'ma'achal, Imcha b'mishteh. He has to be with you in eating, and he has to be with you in drinking. What does that mean? Shelo tehe ochel pat nikiyah, v'hu ochel pat kevar. אתה שותה יין ישן, והוא שותה יין חדש. אתה ישן על גבי מוחין, והוא ישן על גבי הקרקע. You have to treat him the same way as you. You're eating nice fine bread. He has to eat the nice fine bread. Don't give him the bad stuff. You're drinking the good wine, which is old wine, and he's drinking new wine. That's not appropriate. You're lying on cushions on the floor, on your bed, and he's lying on the floor. That's not appropriate. Mikan amru. Okay, let's just stop for 1 minute. I want to point out an interesting halacha here. So let's say you only have one bed to sleep on. What happens to it? So, according to this, everyone's equal, right? He has to be equal to you, imcha. But the halacha is, if you have one bed, the evig gets it. Why is that? It's very simple. You can't sleep on it, because he has to be imcha. So it's usher for you to sleep on it, because you're not mekayem this imcha, because then he's on the floor. Once nobody's sleeping on it, well, then he should get it, because it's called midat stone. What, you're going to torture him? So that, you know, you're not going to be able to sleep on it anyway, so he may as well sleep on it. Otherwise, it's just really not, you know, you're basically making him sleep on the floor for absolutely no reason. It's what we call zeneh neve zelo chaser, right? He'll get the bed, and you're not losing anything from it anyway, and if you don't do that, that's midat stone. So, what?
But you wouldn't anyway.
What'd you say?
I said, except for sleep. You're losing sleep.
But you're losing sleep.
Right. But no, the point is, you are losing sleep, but it doesn't matter, because you'd be losing sleep anyway, because you can't sleep on the bed. That's the point. No, it's very important to say, because you are chaser. You're lying on the floor. But that's not a chisaron at this. It's not chaser at this point.
Worse.
Because no matter what, you have to sleep on the floor. So by him getting the bed, it's actually not causing you any loss whatsoever. Because that's why I had to explain it that way. You have to get there in shlavim. First, you have to say, well, you've got to be on the floor. You can't be in the bed, because then you're not imcha. Anyway, it's interesting. So here comes the big line. Mikan amru hakone eved ivri kikone adon la'atzmo. If you buy an eved ivri, you're basically buying a master for yourself. In other words, don't think I'm going to be the master and he's going to be the slave. No, to a certain extent, you have to work for him. You have to have enough food for him to be able to give him good food. And whatever you're doing, you have to do for him. You know, it's actually a big responsibility, and you can see that they're doing this to deter people from buying slaves, right? They don't like the whole idea.
Which encourages them to buy beds.
Or to encourage them to buy beds, or to encourage them, or really, what are they encouraging? Treating other people properly. There's a bit of a problem here, because this is all Eved Ivri, not Eved Knani, and Eved Knani is a whole different story. That's a whole other values problem.
So that's the problem of all the bonuses we pay housekeepers.
Uh-huh. Right, that we have to treat, right? It's like labor laws in this country. You have to treat your workers properly. They get all the zchuyot, you know, you have to take care of them. You're responsible for them. It's true, right? Anybody who has anybody working for them, whether it's working in the house, working outside, you have to treat your workers properly. That's what this is basically saying. And it fits in with our whole, right? Ki avadai hem. We're all avadim to God. It's not like we're in a superior position and we can be an adon to someone. No, being an adon means, you know, you have to also take care of them. So that's the proof, he says. Look, we're mekel and eved ivri because we allow them all these things, right? So therefore, we'll be mekel in terms of buying yourself back. Again, which then teaches us to our case about redeeming the field. So then they say, Adrabah, nachmir aleh mid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So he questions it, but he says, no, still you could say we could be machmir like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Now, I'm going to just tell you the gist of what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is saying. This is going to be a long bright, and I don't want you to forget the flow. What he's going to basically say here is, it's clear that you don't get to be an Eved Ivri stump. You get to be an Eved Ivri because you did something wrong. In which case, maybe we should be machmir on the Eved Ivri because he deserves it, okay? It's a kind of way of saying, okay, different from what we just said a minute ago, really. So what did Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina say? Bo re'e kama kashe avkash al shvi'it. A little bit, avak is like, there's avak lashon hara, it's like a taste of lashon hara. You're not really doing lashon hara, but something that smells a little of lashon hara, a little bit of messing up in the Shemitah year, look what happens. Adam, and this is how kashe is. Adam nosev notem peirot shvi'it, lasof mocher metaltalav. If you start selling peirot shvi'it, your punishment is going to be, this is one of those, you know, cases of direct avera, right? You do something wrong, you're going to get punished for it. Okay, and really, you know, I don't think anyone really thought that they knew why people get punished, but it was scare tactics, right? They're trying to say, don't try to make extra money by doing something usher, because in the end, you'll lose out, right? You'll end up having to sell all your stuff, and they're going to basically do this long drasha, which is almost entirely based on the order of psukim. Okay, we don't have time to read this all through, but if you want on your own, you can read Vayikra Perek Kaf Hei. It's based on psukim, the smichut parshiot, Okay? In Vayikra Kafhei. Okay, in this parak that we've been dealing with about selling your stachuza, selling your house. Okay, if there's a pasuk here we're going to see right now. Okay, Shenemar. Bishnat Yovel Azot Tashuvu Isha L'chuzato. It says in the parak that in Yovel, when we'll go back, right, everything will go back. And also, you're not allowed to work the land. It's like Shemitah year. So they're viewing Yovel like Shemitah. So you see that there's laws of Yovel and Shemitah. Uktiv v'chitim kerumim kar lamitecha o kano miyana mitecha. If you sell something to a friend or you buy something, al tonu isha tachiv. You can't, you know, cheat them. But anyway, what are they darshim? What kind of things are you selling that they're talking about in this pasuk? It says miyana mitecha. It must be davar nikne miyad liyad, which means mitaltalin. It's something that can go from hand to hand. So what are they basically saying? If you don't keep Yovel, what will happen? You'll have to sell your property. You'll have to sell your metaltalin, your movable items. Then they say, okay, what's the next stage? Lo hirgish, if you didn't feel so bad, right? Okay, so you did it. You didn't feel like, oh, that was terrible that I did this, right? The Shemitah stuff. So, lasof mocheret stotav. Okay, and he got the punishment and it didn't bother him so much, right? In the end, what's going to happen to you if you didn't really feel how bad that was? Well, you're going to end up having to sell your fields. Shenemar, again, they're darshaning the next stage. Ki amuch achicha, if you become poor, umachar me'achuzato, right? The guy became poor and had to sell his property. So they're basically saying, this is coming as a punishment. It started with Yovel. If you don't keep Yovel, you're going to end up having to sell your movable items. Then you're going to sell your fields. Lo bat liado, lasof mocher beito. If you don't care at that point. In other words, the first time, lo hirgish. You didn't feel so bad about it. The next time, you didn't even care. L'sav mocher beito, you're going to end up having to sell your house. Shenemar v'ish kim kor beit moshav ir choma. It's the next part, right? You're going to sell a house in a walled city. So, first they're going to take a break from it and say, Maishna hatam dekamar lo hirgish. O maishna hacha dekamar lo bat liado. Why did we start with lo hirgish and then we got to lo bat liado? Again, we're going to get into psychology. Kid Rav Huna, dam Rav Huna, kevan sha'avar adam avera v'shanaba, hutra lo. So once somebody does something twice in avera, it's already mutcher to him. So the Gemara says, hutra lo, what do you mean? It becomes mutar? Well, there's no avera anymore? Sakadatach, ela, to him, it becomes like a heter. We've seen this line before. He almost doesn't, once you do it twice, you don't see there's anything wrong with it anymore. He thinks it's mutar legamre, and then we're going to see all this lobat liado, lobat liado. In other words, at this point, he could care less. Okay? So he continues to keep going. This part that's in parentheses, most people read after the next shlav, so we're going to skip it for now and come back to it in a minute. Lobat liado ad shemocher bito. Okay, if he didn't care anymore, right, he continues to do it, then he's going to end up selling his daughter to be slave. Now, this is the one case that doesn't appear in Vayikra Kafhei. We're going to see in a minute why they brought it in. Shenemar ki imkor isha bito la'ama. Okay, you're going to end up selling your daughter to be a maidservant. Va'af agav de bito v'hayin yana leita, even though she's actually not mentioned in this parak at all. Nicha le'inish t'lizben barte v'lo lizif b'ribta. The first stage, before you end up having to borrow money with interest, the first thing you would do before you would do that would be to sell your daughter. Why? De'iluhatan migra ba'azla. To buy your daughter back, if you sell your daughter, you're going to get money, and then eventually you might use that money to buy her back. It's almost like a loan, right? You're getting money temporarily. You'll have to give money back, but you'll give less money back because as every year goes on, you'll have to buy her back for less money because she's already worked for
you. Or she'll get married.
Or she'll get married and you won't have to. Whereas, in the case of, which is the next case in this line of reasoning, is you'll have to borrow on interest. That, well, you're going to have to pay more down the road, so that's going to be worse. So you have, that's obviously a worse stage. Because that's a worse stage, and that's the next stage here, that's why they put in the amai v'ria in the middle, because that would be worse than this. So now go back to the parentheses section. Lobat liado, lesof shalava b'ribit. You'll have to borrow on interest, shenemar, ki amuch achicha, right? If you get poor, and look at the lashon yamuch. Yamuch is like from neshech, and al tikach mito neshech v'tarbit. Neshech is interest. So they connect those two. Lobat liado, lesof shemocheret atzmo. You'll end up selling yourself into slavery. Shenemar, ki amuch achicha imach benim karlach. Lo lecha, Ela leger, shenemar leger, lo leger tzedek, ela leger toshav, shenemar leger toshav, mishpacha ger, zeo ve kochavim. They're just darshing this part of the pasuk. Okay, the pasuk reads, I'll read you the whole pasuk and then you'll see. Ki amuch achicha imach benimkar, lach, lo ta'avo bo avadat aved. And then they say, in memzayim, bachita si gya ger v'toshav imach, umach achicha imo benimkar leger toshav imach, ola eker mishpacha ger. Okay, so they're going to basically say, you're darshan all those things, you're going to be sold to a ger toshav, imach, or la'ekar mishpacha ger. So each of those adds something else. Mishpacha ger, zeh ovei kochavim. Kshu omer la'ekar mishpacha ger, what does that mean? Zeh nimkar v'nasa mishareit lovada kochavim atzma. That's the worst. You're going to be a slave to a pesel. Okay, like you're going to work in the mikdash of the avodah zarah. So what was this all to say? Isn't this a terrible thing? And therefore, someone who becomes an eved, it's a punishment for something bad he did. If it's a punishment for something bad he did, then what's going to happen? Well, then, why should we be mekel on him? We should be machmir. So what's the answer? Ha ahadre kra, the pasuk repeats and says, or kind of returns, sorry, the pasuk returns him to among us. How so? Ditana de Rabbi Yishmael, ho'il v'halachu machar tzmo l'avadak kochavim, idache even achar nofel, well, we'll throw the rock after the, we're going to throw a rock on him once he's fallen? No. Talmud lamar, it's actually a different pasuk than the one it says here, achare nimkar, wait, is it this pasuk or is it the other? Just look in Yud Aleph. It should say gulati yelo echad me'achiv yigalenu, right? It says, even though you've gotten sold into slavery, you have a way to get out. Your brothers can buy you back. Okay, which means, right, we help him out. So they say, okay, wait. Eima gulati yelo deloli tamabo of de kochavim. Maybe the whole reason we want to get him out is not because we want to help him, so to speak, you know, we want to be nice to him. It's just because we don't want him to assimilate in this non-Jewish house. Ulolam linyam pidyano nachmir. But maybe when it comes to the pidyon, we will be machmir, the amount of money. In other words, you want to be makeup to try to help him get out, but we're going to be machmir about the pidyon. Now, there's a bit of a problem with this because they're sort of interconnected. If we want to try to get him out, well, then we have to lower the price. It's a bit of a question here, but they seem to think that those are two different things. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, k'tiv, okay, so now he's going to prove why is it? K'tiv im od rabot b'shanim, uktiv im ma'at nishar b'shanim. So now we're going to see why we're makeup of him, because it says, if there's rabot b'shanim, a lot of years, or if there's ma'at b'shanim, right, what does that obviously mean? The price is going to fluctuate based on how many years are left. That we know already. But they're going to darshan it like this. V'chiyesh shanim rabot, v'yesh shanim u'otot. It sounds like if there's long years and if there's shorter years, but there is no such thing. Ela nitrabek kaspo mikesef miknato, nitma'et kaspo kefi shanav. Nitrabek kaspo means if the price goes up more than it was when you bought him. Nitma'et kaspo, if he's now worth less. Okay? So therefore, they learn it from here that we basically go l'kula. Ema hechad avitarte upashe arba'e, leitiv le'arba, mikesef miknato. But maybe you could say that if he worked, what does it mean? It means if he worked two and there's four left, give him four based on the original price. Ve'echad avid arba upashe tarte, and when he worked 4 years and there were 2 years left, leitiv le'tarte kefi shanav. In other words, maybe it should go based on where you are in the, you know, if you're closer to the beginning or closer to the end. That could be another way of doing it, which then wouldn't be necessarily mekel or machmir. Ve'ema, Be'ema hechad avid tarte uparshe arba'a, leitiv le'arba mikesem b'nato, ve'echad avid arba uparshe tarte, leitiv le'tarte kefi shanav. That was what we just read. Sorry. Im ken nichtov. So if that was the case, it should say im od rabot shanim. If there's a lot of years left versus, right, im ma'at shanim. But what does it say? My bishanim. It says im rabot bishanim, not just im rabot shanim. So what's bishanim? To teach you, nitrabek kaspo bishanim mikesev miknato, nitma'ek kaspo bishanim kefi shanav. And as if it got more bishanim from the kesev, right, then we do go mikesev miknato. If it went and got lower, his value went lower, bishanim, then it goes kefi shanav. Okay, so that's how we get this drasha, that it's going to go litovato either which way. They learn it from the extra bet here, okay, that if nitrabek bishanim, then we're going to go kikesef miknato. If it's in my bishanim, then we're going to go kfishanav. Remember, the miknato and kfishanav were those two directions that we went in the first place, right? That we said each one is the cooler. So the question is, where do we get this? So again, it's still another drasha, which isn't so convincing necessarily. And Amar of Yosef, in case, okay, and maybe because it's not so convincing, this is why we needed this line. Amar of Yosef, darshinu rav nachman lahane krai kisinai. He taught these to the following psukim as if they were told in Har Sinai. In other words, take his answer and don't go anywhere else with it. Maybe he was trying to strengthen it, even though it might not be the most convincing. Okay, now we're going back to Lo Yimkor B'Rachok. Okay, remember, you can't sell something that's far in order to get a field that's closer, etc. So mananimile, where do we get this from? The pasuk says v'hisiga yado. Okay, here's the pasuk. V'ish ki lo yelo goel. If he doesn't have anyone else to redeem him, v'hisiga yado matzake gedei gulato. What does it say? And then he came up with the money, right? He segya, right? He kind of found money somewhere, right? He acquired it and found kedei gulato. So now we're going to darshan this to show what we want to say. That shows he can't borrow because it's his own yad. He sigayado, yado, and not that he borrowed money. Umatsa prat lematsui. He found. What does it mean he found? It means he didn't have it before. If he didn't have it before, well, what would that exclude? Shelo yimkor brachot v'yigal b'karo, b'rav v'yigol b'yafeh. He can't take some other field he already had and sell it to buy this. What is that basically telling you? You should think before you sell. If you really were going to redeem that field to buy that field, you should have sold that field instead of this one. You're messing around with the buyer, basically. It's unfair to him. Okay? So you can't take something you already had. It's only something that came into your possession later. Kedei ge'ulato. What does that mean? Kedei ge'ula go'el ve'eno go'el chatzaim. He has to do kedei the whole ge'ula. You can't do it in parts. L'meimra de'matzah. So now they're going to question this matzah drasha. Every time it says matzah, Hashtamashma means you only got it now and it wasn't existing before. Uriminu, we have a contradiction to this. Umatsa, now where is this? In someone who goes to Ir Miklat. Okay, remember it says there, of Asher Yavot Re'eu Bayar Lachto Beitzim, you happen upon someone in the, you know, you go into the Yar to chop trees, V'nitcha Yado Bagarzen, Lichrot Ha'etz, and you start right chopping, V'nashala Barzel Min Ha'etz, Umatsa Et Re'eu Bameit. And you it finds your friend. Now, according to this, what would it be? It would mean that it found your friend who wasn't there before when you started chopping. Okay? Now we're going to learn in a minute. You're actually not chayav to go to Ir Miklat if that's the case. Because you, what's Ir Miklat? Ir Miklat is where you did something b'shogeg. What is b'shogeg? Well, it's not that you're totally not responsible. You're somewhat responsible. You're just not fully responsible because it was an accident. But accidents, if it was a full accident, we call that ones and you don't even have to go to Ir Miklat. Ir Miklat is both. It helps you, but it also is a punishment. You don't even deserve any punishment. You don't need the protection from the relative who wants to kill you because you killed his relative if it's really onus. So now we're going to see the drasha. Umatza prat lemamtziat atzmo. It excludes someone who all of a sudden appeared. If he wasn't, notice it said, ki yavo re'eu bayar. You go and your friend's in the yar already, right? And then it says umatza. So here matza seems to say, right? It includes something that was already there. If after the Evan left your hands, hotzi halat rosho, the guy all of a sudden puts his head into the yar, or wherever the space was, v'kibla, patur, you'd be patur. Ama matzah, mididi ite mi'ikara mashma. It sounds like matzah is something that was there before. So ama rava, hacha minyana dekra, v'hacha minyana dekra, each one according to its context. Hacha du miyadi siga yada. My sigayada dahashta, af matzana mi dahashta. When it says he sigayado, umatzai sigayado means you got something that you didn't have before. And there, jumia di yar. When you got into the yar, my yar, milta di itamikara, the yar is a place that existed before. Af matza, milta di itamikara. Also matza, then there, right? Each one fits in the context. Okay? You could explain it also, each one fits in the context logically also, but they use it more from the verse.